welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Mike?
Good. We have another poem this week about a stroke. It's something that we follow quite closely. Our listeners will know that antiplatelet therapy, lifestyle, other medicines are often used for the secondary prevention of stroke. In other words, in someone that's already had either a stroke or a TIA. Antiplatelet therapy is known to reduce the incidence of stroke in patients at high risk for atherosclerosis and in those with known symptomatic cerebrovascular disease. But prevention should be broader than just antiplatelet therapy. Mark, you found a good practice guideline that reminds us of what else we can do to help patients. It was published in the journal Stroke in 2021. It's an electronic publication. It attempts to answer the question, what is the recommended approach to managing persons who've had a previous stroke or transischemic attack?
Yeah, so this was from the AHA and the American Stroke Association. It was a well-developed guideline. This poem summarizes that guideline. They followed an evidence-based process. They did a series of systematic reviews for the key questions. And the final document is really worth looking at because it has a ton of useful tables as well as algorithms that are in some ways more too complex to really talk about here. I really would recommend that readers look this one up. It was in 2021, volume 52, issue 7, E364. So as part of the diagnostic workup, the guideline recommends doing an EKG to look for atrial fibrillation, imaging, obviously, to confirm stroke, and also evaluation for carotid stenosis, and labs to assess for risk factors for stroke. So you can do a formal risk assessment for these patients. It recommends non-pharmacologic measures to prevent further strokes, things we, you know, probably aren't too surprising, a Mediterranean-type diet, sodium restriction, aerobic exercise, smoking cessation, and avoiding drug or alcohol use. The AHA also made recommendations about blood pressure control, lipid and triglyceride targets, and weight loss. They also recommend percutaneously closing a patent foramen ovale in patients who meet the following criteria. They're between 18 and 60. They had a non-lacunar stroke. There was no other identified cause, so cryptogenic stroke. And they're a high-risk patent foramen ovale features. So that's a fairly narrow group, but it is something to be considering. So if we have a patient with a stroke in that age range, no clear cause for the stroke, then you know that's somebody who should be evaluated for a PFO. They recommend aspirin, full dose, 325 milligrams daily for essentially everyone, unless they're allergic to it. And they only suggest adding a second antiplatelet agent based on specific clinical risk factors like high-risk TIA or intracranial stenosis. So not routinely using the dual antiplatelet therapy. Another recent poem looked at that and found that in a randomized trial, dual antiplatelet therapy, there was more bleeding, but no additional benefit in terms of stroke prevention for most patients. The guideline doesn't recommend the use of risk scores like CHADS-2 or CHADS-2 VASC, because the history of stroke or TIA already puts them in a higher risk group. So those risk scores don't really add anything for these folks. So bottom line, this really well-done AHA-ASA guideline has a lot of recommendations for secondary stroke prevention, and it's worth reviewing the full guideline because of all the algorithms and really helpful information that's in there.
Thanks for the suggestion to look at this. You know, looking at it, I did think that it is definitely worth a glance. Lots of the stuff we already know, but it's a good reminder. And the use of medications and laboratory workups and imaging studies, they make very specific recommendations. The one thing that I've confused about is the issue of lipids and triglycerides. I certainly understand the use and importance of evaluating lipids. I continue to struggle with the role of triglycerides in both cardiovascular and cerebrovascular disease. Are you any clearer on that? Is that something that we really should be paying attention to? And at what level should we be treating simply the triglycerides?
Yeah, that's a good question. They do recommend use of icosapent ethyl 2 grams twice daily in folks with elevated triglycerides. That's really the only agent that's ever been shown to be effective at preventing or improving any cardiac outcomes in patients with elevated triglycerides. So that's that. It's only that drug for patients with elevated triglycerides. And we covered that one in a poem, and it is a pretty small benefit and a very high cost. So that's something that I think is a discussion with the patient.
Thanks, Mark. We will talk again next week. Thanks.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.